Happy Wednesday, everybody, and thank you so much for downloading today's Be Our Guest podcast. We've got a special one for you. This is, of course, listener questions, but this was recorded last Saturday, July 14th, during the 12-hour live show to benefit Give Kids the World. So you're going to hear us. We were at about hour 7 of the 12-hour show when we recorded this live listener question show. We took your calls. We got questions from the Facebook group and even the inbox. And we talk about a lot of topics about Walt Disney World trips, Disney Cruise Line, and more. We even get into ride sharing, how best to get around at Walt Disney World. So much to talk about. But don't forget our sponsor. That includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on your days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And this is a great app because you put it right there on your iOS device. You customize the font, the color, the pictures. And you can get audio alerts each and every day. And every time you look down at your phone, whether it's to send a text message, post to social media, you know, check the weather, you're going to see right there at the notification icon how many days you have until you get back to your favorite place. So check out these great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Again, this is a live recording from the 12-hour live show. Let me just thank everybody who was a part of the show on Saturday, July 14th. We raised, get this, guys, during the show, we were at about $15,000. In 7 hours of the 12-hour live show, but we wrapped it up with over $31,300 raised for Give Kids the World. That is an astonishing amount of money that's going to do a tremendous amount of good in Central Florida for these families that need it the most. They need some magic. They're struggling. And this is going to put so many smiles on so many faces that I cannot thank you enough. So on behalf of Pam and Ricky, thank you so much for being a part of the Be Our Guest podcast community, and thank you for being you, for having, a heart the size of a football stadium. It's amazing what you guys do and what we can do collectively to make this world a better place. So thank you again, over $31,300 raised for Give Kids the World. Enjoy today's live question show, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1356 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. This is a very special Be Our Guest podcast because this listener question show is being recorded during the 12-hour live show to benefit Give Kids the World Village down in Orlando. And as of the time we're starting the recording of this podcast, we have raised $10,000 for the village thanks to your generosity. It's all because of our amazing community and listeners. So thank you so very much. Right now, as we're recording live, we have an awesome opportunity for our listeners who are tuned in live. Now, of course, you're listening on the feed. This is gone. But for those listening live, you donate now in the next hour till 4:10 p.m. Eastern. Ski Jumper Dad, one of our great listeners, is going to match your donation up to $2,500. So make it happen while we're answering your listener questions. And if you have questions, you can put them in the chat or you can give us a call here. We'll open up the phone lines in just a second. But joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, she put this all together, worked hard for the last month and actually longer. We have Ricky. What's going on, Ricky?
Just sitting here raising money for Give Kids the World. Yeah, it's a good day. It's a really good day.
It's an awesome day. I love this day. I mean, to get to do what I love for 12 hours straight.
Except for I get to talk to people I love. It's awesome. It's such a fantastic day. And I'm so excited to get to answer your questions live, which is awesome, too.
Yes, and we're going to have the phone lines open. We're going to have the chat open. We're not even going to go to the inbox today. We don't think, unless we get in a crunch.
Yes.
All right, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Snuggly, up there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You would think we're doing this in the middle of January, but it's actually July. Yep. What's going on, Pam Forrester? Our houses are so cold.
I know,
Pam's freezing me. That's what she's doing. She's freezing me.
I know, right? I know. So this is exciting because we get to interact with the folks that are watching us on Facebook in a way that we sort of do every listener's questions kind of day. We throw some in, but we answer mostly email questions. So now it's like right there. It's like on the fly. Like we have to have the answers right like that, even more so than ever before. There's less researching than ever before.
Oh, let's be honest. Was there really a lot of researching to begin with?
I know. There wasn't much to begin with, and now there's less than there ever was. So that's true. It's not only junglier down here, but it is less researched, and we could appear less knowledgeable.
This is true. This is true.
Speaking of junglier, when we were down at Walt Disney World last week, during extra magic hours at the Magic Kingdom one night, the Jungle Cruise was closed, and I was like, I wanted to ride it at night. Like, you get the best cast member interaction, you know, like at midnight on the Jungle Cruise. That's always the most fun, and it was closed.
Yes, they get a little rowdy.
They do. I think maybe it got too rowdy, and they had to close the attraction. I don't know.
They were like, when did missed that? Out.
All right, so Sarah, so the first question's about Ample Hills, so you know that's going to be first.
Oh, yes, that's going to be good.
It's from Sarah Fisher in the Facebook chat. Mike, does Ample Hills still have the flight of ice cream? I'm looking on the menu.
I can answer this question now.
Yes, I'm looking on the menu and can't seem to find it. Since you were just down there, I'm sure you stopped by. Positive, I did go by there 2 or 3 times. And they did have the flight of ice cream because Mallory and Emily were trying to split a flight of ice cream as we walked to Epcot, and that was the biggest mess in the world. You must sit down to eat a flight of ice cream. But Ricky, you saw that as well.
I split my flight with Hannah, and it was quite delicious. We each had we picked the 6 flavors that we both thought we'd like the most, but then we ended up each like favoring 3 different flavors. So it ended up working out nicely for us because I didn't have to share completely with Hannah. So I mean, we each, you know, once we figured out our sides, then we were fine. But it was delicious. And let me tell you, the ice cream flight is a fantastic deal. I really don't want to say those words because I don't want them to like think, oh, we can jack up the price now. But I mean, seriously, when you think about it, it's 6 flavors of ice cream. And they're small. They're not like huge scoops of ice cream, but you do get 2 smaller scoops of ice cream in each little cup. So there's a ton of ice cream that you get. My suggestion is you definitely want to eat it, especially when it's in the middle of summer. You definitely want to eat it while you're at Ample Hills. Hannah and I learned this the very, very hard way. We took the ice cream with us and back up to the room, and it melted completely. So,
got to be smarter than the ice cream. I think your mic came unplugged, Ricky.
But I'll figure it out.
Okay. So, next question. I think this is an interesting one. So, Joe Laszlo down in Atlanta says, with the parking fees, has the Magic for Less seen a change in the mix of guests flying versus driving? So, Pam, what do you think? I mean, here's the thing, like, as an agent who books a lot of travel, is that I really don't know if my guests were making a change. I just know either they are flying or they are driving, but I don't know what their like thinking was. Like, were they thinking about flying or driving? What do you think about the change of habits with this?
I don't think it's really impacted habits of guests. I think that people who were going to fly were going to fly. People who were going to drive are going to drive. The one thing it may have done, and we haven't really seen this, but I will say, if anything, maybe someone who was going to rent a car, who was going to fly, but rent a car anyways, has looked at that maybe a little more. Like, do I really want to rent a car, given that there's going to be a parking fee? Or do I just want to utilize Disney transportation? But we have not seen a big change in this. And I can tell you, because I rented a car when we were down there, the parking lots are just as full as they ever were at the resort. So if that was one of the goals that they had, I don't think that that part was met. But you know, maybe at some point in the future that will impact that. But it just doesn't seem to at this point.
Yeah, I think the same. I didn't see, you know, empty parking lots or anything like that. But I will tell you personally that my first couple times we flew down, we rented a car and that was fine. This time when I got home and I checked my email, I took Ubers 12 times in 2 weeks. 12 times. I mean, so we were talking about this, and so each, if you average with the tip, each one of my Uber rides probably came in around 10 or 12 bucks. So I paid probably $120, $130 for all those Uber rides, but I didn't have to pay to park. And the thing about Uber was that it drops you off right where you need to be, and it picks you up right outside the door. I mean, there's something to be said for convenience that way too.
I think, though, if you would ask my husband whether he would rent a car or not in the future, I think what he would say is that he still would. Yeah. He just likes having that convenience of being able to go where he wants to go, when he wants to go. So I think it's a consideration, as with all things, but I think most people are just sort of rolling that into their overall vacation price. And, you know, if they're keeping the parking, you know, just consider it like that. So anyways.
Yeah, that's kind of how I looked at it, because, you know, 2 years ago, me would have like been, you know, oh, do I have to take another Uber? But the thing was, I just said, it's part of the vacation. Just when I need an Uber, I'm just going to hit the button. I'm going to get a car, because we did a lot of, because we were down there with, you know, the Foresters were there, the Gardeners were there, Ricky was there. So we were doing a lot of, and we, none of us were staying at the same resort. So a lot of times we'd want to hang out together. So we'd go, like I was staying at Coronado, you guys were at Boardwalk, I'd have to take an Uber over there. Then some of us were at Polynesian, so we had to go there. And resort to resort's a challenge, but man, I think Uber has solved that problem. The minivans as well, but the minivans are just slightly more expensive. Well, not slightly, but they're probably double the cost.
They are a lot more expensive, yeah.
Do you think them? What do you think about the minivans a year later? Do you think they're a hit? There's 60. There's about 60 of them.
I think there are. I think they really are. And I think one of the things that makes them a hit is, first of all, as the mom of a daughter, I don't care if she is 16 or 53 at some point in her life, I'm going to feel much more safe if she's riding in a minivan as opposed to an Uber. I'm not saying the Uber is unsafe or Lyft is unsafe. I'm just saying the fact that that is a Disney cast member who is driving that car brings me a peace of mind.
Oh, just lost your audio there, Pam.
Oh, Pam.
No, you're back. You're back. You're back.
Oh, you're back. Pam, are you there?
You're
good. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, it's Mike back. That's not.
Oh, you don't hear me?
Mike.
Hello.
Oh, I hear Mike. Uh-oh.
So, Ricky, while Pam's figuring that out, what do you think about the minivans? I mean, we see them everywhere on property. I mean, they're all over the place.
Can you hear Mike?
Yes.
Yes, I can hear Mike.
I can hear me, too.
Maybe stop your camera, Pam, and then come back in.
If not, I'll do the same.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So what do I think of the minivans?
Yes.
I mean, I think that they're a fantastic option for people who maybe are a little leery of Uber. I know, you know, as someone who, when I first started taking Ubers, I was a little like uneasy about the whole process. But you know, now I really like taking Ubers when I'm in places that, you know, I don't know how to get around, that kind of thing. I use them all the time when I was in New York. So, you know, I think that it's definitely a very helpful thing. And yeah, I think the minivans are, you know, they're a good gateway into feeling comfortable with that whole process.
Yeah, so. I agree.
Yeah, and I even asked... I asked the Uber driver one time, we're going over to the Polynesian, like, has he seen an increase in Uber fares? And he said he hasn't really seen an increase, but he said there was kind of a lull usually after spring break until summer picked up. He said there was no downswing this year. It just stayed steady. So I guess that's an upswing if you think about it.
And
so.
You see them increasing the fleet. I mean, increasing yes. the minivan fleet. So I feel like it must be an effect of, you know, something that a lot of people are using. So, you know, I think that we'll still continue to see the minivans operating for sure.
Absolutely. I think they'll expand it out too to different types of vehicles. Okay. So if you have a phone call or if you want to call in and be a part of the show in the conversation, 407-413-9395, 407-413-9395. Don't forget, you can double your donation right now at brguestpodcast.com. You know, as you're listening live, of course, not here on Wednesday, but for the next hour till 4:10 p.m. Eastern here on Saturday, July 14th, Ski Jumper Dad is matching those donations up to $2,500. Very, very generous. Thank you so very much. But get those donations in as we answer your listener questions here. So just go to brguestpodcast.com. All right. Mackenzie Brown has a question about cruise line. She says, do you like the larger Disney Cruise Line ships or the smaller, and why? So far, I've only done the Wonder and the Fantasy. The Wonder is my favorite, but I think that's just because it was my honeymoon cruise. Well, you better say that. You know, go on, your honeymoon cruise. Got to say that. But
I thought that was you saying that.
No,
Mike.
No, it wasn't my honeymoon. Shoot.
Well, that's a lie because we do the BOGP cruise on the Dream.
No, I'm saying that has to be Jay and Melissa's favorite cruise ship because
I get it.
I'm just saying.
I did not get it was Mackenzie.
No, that was Mackenzie's. You gotta sorry. No, so here's what I say. My favorite are the larger ships because I love the Wonder and the Magic. I just like having more options for activities. You know, I like the aqueduct. I just, the bigger, the better for me. Even like if I was on Royal Caribbean, I'd want to be on the biggest ships. You know, that's just, it just gives me more opportunity to do more things. So not that one's nicer or anything like that. I think they're all equivalent when it comes to the amenities, but there's just more options on the larger ship. So Ricky, you're getting ready to sail what, the Magic or the Wonder?
I am. Magic. So I have not sailed the smaller ships yet. So in September, it's going to be my first time on the Magic, on one of the smaller, the classic ships, I guess I should say.
Yes.
So I've only done the larger ships. So it's going to be interesting for me, as someone who's only done the larger ships, to take a step back and go on the more classic ships, the smaller ones, to see how they differ. And I'm very curious to see whether it will be not a big shock, but like if it will, if I'm going to be not disappointed either. I just notice the size difference is, I guess, what I'm trying to say is I'm curious to see, and I'm curious to see how Brian takes it too, because obviously, you know, him not being a complete Disney nerd, he has opinions of things as well. So I'm really curious to see his take on it. But I feel like there's so many activities that you can still do on the Magic and the Wonder that make a Disney cruise a Disney cruise. So I'm super super excited about getting to experience the Magic. And I like that, like on the Magic and the Wonder, they have like the special dining experience. So they have Tiana's Place on the Wonder, and I'm gonna get to experience the Rapunzel meal, which I'm super excited about. Can I just tell you, like, I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about seeing the Rapunzel show as well. So very, very excited. So it's going to be interesting for me to see how things differ. I do like the bigger ships, though. I think that they, the only way you really notice it is maybe when you're on the top deck, or, you know, and you have to go all the way across if you're going to like the sports deck from the front.
Yep.
Or if you are maybe, you know, in the you have a room that's all the way at the end of the hall. You know, I feel like that those are really the only times when you really notice the size of the ship, if that makes sense.
What you're going to notice too is that the decks have different numbers. You're used to a numbering system where like the top deck's 11 and it's actually 9. You're you're all confused.
It's going to drive me nuts. I'm yeah. Like, let's go to deck 11.
Exactly. You're like, well, wait, I mean 9. Because that's how so we have a caller on the line, but Pam, real quick, what do you prefer when it comes to the classic or the larger ships?
So I have to say I'm a larger ship fan. I understand the appeal of the classic ships, especially because those are oftentimes the first ships that Disney Cruise Line fans sailed on. They were on those classic ships. Those have great memories. But for me, like you all have mentioned, I really prefer having the additional restaurants. I think that, you know, Remy is a great addition. And I think just having that, I like the additional activities. I like the just the options to have different shows and different entertainment that's not there on the classic ships. And that's why I prefer them. We absolutely have people, though, who are passionate about those two early ships.
Yes.
I mean,
yes, there are people.
Like, it's fighting words.
That's so. Why I'm curious to see how it works for me. Like, am I going to fall in love with the smaller ship
I don't
now?
Know.
Like,
You might. And so I think that's why you have to experience both for yourself. I still don't think, no matter which you prefer, the other one's still okay. Let me tell you. It's not like I will not sail on...
Let's just say. Darn it, I have to sail on the Magic today.
Right. If you like a Disney cruise, you will like any of them, but some just prefer some over the others.
All right, we have a caller on the line. Thanks so much for your patience. Who's joining us?
It's Christy from West Lafayette, Indiana. How are you guys?
Super. Hey. Thanks.
Great. Thanks. We're doing great.
You're in Boilermaker country, I guess.
Oh, yeah, we sure are.
Good
and
stuff.
We're just an hour away from the Indy Disney meet. We're looking forward to it.
We'll see you there.
Awesome.
I can't
wait. There.
Yeah,
looking forward to seeing you.
Be there with bells on.
Yes. No, I'm not wearing bells, but I'll be there.
Oh. Anyway. You have the dinger.
So yeah, I do. Good. Hang on. I'll bring the bell. All right, so how can we help you? What do you have to do? You have a question or a comment today?
Well, my husband, if anybody follows me on Facebook, they'll know my husband's turning 60 this year. Actually, he did just turn 60 in June. And so his big present is a cruise on the Magic this fall. And I think it's about a month after yours, Ricky. We're going just a 4-day out of New York up to New Brunswick and then back.
I think we were thinking about that cruise, to be perfectly honest. We were really looking at that one, and then we decided to go on the 7-night to Quebec. So we were really looking at that cruise.
Well, it was, I mean, I was really pleasantly surprised at the price. And
yes, that's why we were looking at that cruise. We were like, oh, well, I can do that. So.
And since we can, you know, tie it in with a few days to see some shows and do some other stuff in New York City, it just was very appealing. But never being on the Magic, I was curious, and I know you guys have been talking about this some, but I just wondered, I'm very concerned about, you know, the port in New York City, and wondered if any of you guys had ever experienced it. And then also, what we might want to make sure we do while we're on the Magic, because never been on it, don't know anything about it, excited to learn.
I haven't. The last time I was on the Magic was her third sailing, way back in the day before the Wonder. So it's been a while for me. So Pam, what about some advice here with sailing out of New York on the Magic?
So we have sailed out of New York and really had a great experience. I really like that port. The fact that you'll get to see, you know, the Statue of Liberty. I don't know if you'll cruise, you know, past that, but, you know, look and see how that's going in the cruises that sail that way.
I think you do. I've seen, like, I've been watching videos online, and I've seen, like, where they go past the Statue of Liberty, which is really cool.
There's a bunch that do.
That would be wonderful. It really just depends
on it, on the way that Disney takes. But so it's a great. I think it's a different port than Port Canaveral. The thing you want to know, or just remember, is that Port Canaveral is really kind of unique in that, you know, that's a Disney Cruise Line terminal. The other terminals are not Disney Cruise Lines. They're, you know, they're somebody else's, and Disney Cruise Line is using them, or they belong to the port there. So they aren't quite as Disney-fied. But it's still a good experience. I still, you know, my advice for any cruise, of course, is to arrive a night early if you can, and stay in
the area. We are.
Good. See, that always makes me breathe easier. It's like, I don't even know which one of the Magic for Less Travel guests are not arriving the day before, because that would keep me up at night.
She would have actually killed me. I think she would have booked the stay for me.
I would have made her.
No, you are flying out tonight.
You will fly out the day before. Now, that just makes me sleep easier at night. So then you will get to enjoy some of that. And I say, you know, if New York is not a place you travel to often, absolutely take advantage to see some of the sights there.
Yeah.
We did a hop on, hop off bus tour that also included a boat. And the boat actually went under the Brooklyn Bridge and out past the Statue of Liberty. And it was really, really a cool experience, even though we had been in New York City before. I enjoyed that a lot, so that was fun. We're just now starting to get information on some of these cruise ports and the itineraries and the excursions that Disney Cruise Line is going to offer to guests that are there. So I don't have a ton of advice on the ports that you're visiting, but there's some cool things, and I don't discount the ability to, if you have something in that area where you're stopping, make your own shore excursion, your own port adventure, because you are doing it here in North America. I think that that's a little less daunting than, you know, when you're traveling over to Italy or something. You're going to have folks that speak the language that we're familiar with, and you can catch an Uber or Lyft even and do things in that. So don't miss some of that, some opportunities like that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to hearing all about your trip, Ricky, and I'll
be a good guinea pig for you. Okay?
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, and we talked about stuff that's available just on the Magic. I want to encourage you to do Tangled the Musical.
I'm so excited about that.
Absolutely. Fun.
So make sure you take time to do that. That'll be a fun thing.
Part of my strategy in booking this cruise was so I can book while I'm on board for the GOB, the Be Our Guest cruise.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
There you go.
That's awesome.
So you'll be seeing that come through, Mike.
Yes. It's going to be awesome. No, it's going to be great, because we haven't talked about that in a while, but that's going to be June 28th of 2019. That is less than a year away now. Did we just, is that right?
Yeah,
yes, yes, it is. So, yeah, we'll be sailing the Dream. And guess what? Castaway Key, so awesome. We're going twice. Two stops. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. We've had such fun on the previous four, and this will be the best.
So that's right. So you won't be doing Castaway Key on this cruise, but you'll get it
twice. Yes. And then the other thing you get to experience with the cruise that you're going on is it's in October, right? So you get to see Halloween on the high seas, too.
Yes.
Which is something I am so excited to get to experience.
Oh, like, yeah.
We get to trick or treat. Hello. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I got to really watch my diet until then so that I can eat all the candy.
There's no calories on a cruise. None. No. That will tell you that over
we
and
work
over.
On our, zero. We got to work on our costumes, though.
I know. I do, too.
I haven't broke that news to my husband yet, but.
Oh, he's got to wear a costume? Oh.
No, he needs to, you just make him a pirate. Everybody's a pirate on a Disney cruise.
Well, we
that's
have
the same thing. Yeah, see, exactly.
At least
doubles.
On our cruise. I don't know if they'll have it on the shorter cruise,
yeah,
but I know
probably.
On the seven night, we have pirate night and Halloween night, so that'll be fun.
I'm sure they have a pirate night, probably. I'd imagine. It's fun.
Yeah, they probably
I saw
do.
In the research, they did both, but I'm not 100% sure, so yeah.
I've got a mean pirate look on the balcony. Ricky's seen the pictures.
I have. It's special. Let's just say that
it is special. It's so special. Well, hey, thank you so much and have a great cruise. And hopefully you'll join us for the podcast cruise because it's going to be amazing. We love it.
We're planning on it.
Good deal.
I'm just enjoying hanging out with you guys today.
We are going to have a blast. Yeah, it's not 12 hours at a time on the cruise, I promise you.
No.
Small doses.
Yeah, not at a time. Yes, it's a
small doses.
Though, but not at a time. Yeah.
Right, hey. Okay, I got to go check my bids.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Get in there and snipe. We'll see you in Indy.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Oh, it's so fun. All right. There's no hang up button. Skype just keeps confusing me. All right. Anyway.
Mike should look at Skype before.
Well, no, it's different on the PC and the Mac. So anyway. All right. So again, refresh that because we have this challenge going on until 4:10 Eastern.
That's right.
We are on the doorstep of hitting it, too.
And we want to make this.
So we have our official total right now is $11,894. Woo! We're getting there.
So we're trying to get to 12.5 by 4:10, right?
12.5 by 4:10.
Because that would officially get us to $15,000.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Let's do it, people. We're so close. If you haven't thought about donating, now is the time. Now is the best time. All right, back to the questions before I'm losing it. It's this show. These long shows. Best thing to do as a solo traveler. Lauren is asking, Ricky, what do you think when you're down there solo? What is the best thing?
No. I know. That's what I was going to say. Like, whatever you want.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Whatever you want. Yeah.
It's your challenge. Or it's your challenge to do whatever you want, whenever you want. That's all you have to do. That's the challenge of the single traveler vacation. And that's the best challenge. So,
yeah.
Yes.
I tend to post to social media more when I'm there by myself. Like the 2 days I was there before the family got there, I just went around. I remember I went to the Magic Kingdom one day and just... I did everything. Like I went up in the treehouse. Now this is a weird. I was going to tell Matt Parrish about this because they just did an episode of the 3028 about the Swiss Family Treehouse. So I went up there because I was inspired by their show the day before. I was listening, and I get up there and there's this cast member up there, the PhotoPass person, taking pictures at the top of the treehouse, and I'm by myself. So like, he's like, "Well, do the stand like this and like make a cross your arms." I'm like,
"You got senior pictures taken." I mean, serious? It was almost as good as the senior pictures.
It was. His senior pictures for that Steve's were awesome. I have that one on my phone. Which
I was.
Is
fantastic. I
need to make that Mike's picture for when he texts us and stuff.
Yes.
I need to make that. It's good. I'm gonna do it right now. Yes.
Are you talking about the back?
I'm doing it too. And then Mike, how much will you pledge not for us to put that on Facebook?
We'll see. We're going to hit 20,000 today, it looks like. Oh, that's not the backpack picture, is it?
Not
the backpack picture. Anyway.
Well, yeah, I got to find it. Or if Steve's watching, he can text it to me again. I know I have it, though.
No, but seriously, just go around and do whatever you want. Really, it's freeing. It's a lot of fun. I post social media, though, because I take pictures of stuff that, my family's like, Why are you taking a picture? Thanks.
Oh, I'm so excited about
this. Why are you taking a picture of that sign? Or why are you taking a picture of that light? You can do whatever you want when you're solo. All right, so Andrea's got a question. When you're doing a split stay, can you make all of your fast passes for both stays starting at 60 days out? Pam, I'm about to choke.
Mike's dying. It's fine.
I need to get something to drink real quick. So, Pam, talk about the split stays and making fast passes.
So this is all going to depend on a few factors. First of all, you need to have tickets for every day that you are going to make a FastPass Plus reservation. And I know that sort of sounds elementary, but like if you're doing two packages or whatnot, you'll need to have tickets for each one of those days. And that's really going to be the, you know, one of the important things. So you'll be able to make 60 days before the date of your arrival day for all of it. And if not, you should be able to check with, there is a tech support for that, and they'll be able to assist with that.
All right, good stuff.
I'm saying that you should do it for the first part of your reservation. So you're going to have to chunk it typically.
Twice.
Right. But sometimes if you talk with someone from tech support, they are able to assist with that.
Yes, they are. Some,
I know. Keyword, so sorry. Keyword means I know sometimes. That's me hedging the thing, but that's actually how Disney deals with it. I believe the official word is no, you can't.
Yes. That is
you have
official
to do
word.
Them separately.
Because they're two different reservations.
Exactly. Yep. What you'll do is 60 days before the first reservation and 60 days before the second reservation, you'll do that. But the thing about that it makes that still work is that you're still making them long before people who are staying off site. You still get the 60 days for each of your reservations as long as you're staying on site for both of them.
Yep.
So
updated total 11,944.
Wow.
We're on the doorstep of 12,000. Thank you guys so very much for your generosity to give kids the world. We are trying to get to 12,500 in the next looks like about 25 minutes. So get that in and we'll have Ski Jumper Dad match that and we'll be at $15,000 for Give Kids a World. Amazing. But let's get back to the questions. Oh, Carrie's asking, how do we enter for the gift basket? She heard about it a few hours ago, but yes. She's not sure. Isn't that the $100 or more donations?
$100 or more donation.
Easy peasy. All you got to do is make a donation for $100 or more. That's it.
All right. So let's see here. Mark Lyons is checking in from warm Florida. I bet it's very warm down there. And it's really warm upstairs in my house probably, but it is freezing right here. I got a blanket on. Let's see. George says.
And Jeanette says she's adding another gift to the basket.
Oh, hang on.
So see, it's getting there. It's getting there.
Hang on. Hang on. I'm being a sucky dog.
So I'm giving just a little preview of the Mike Rollin photo.
Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not.
You can't.
No, you're not.
You couldn't really see it.
Good.
Mike, get your donation in or it's
do not slow that down. Do
look,
not.
It's mine too. It's mine too. It's
yeah, you guys are so
right
funny.
There. I clicked on a button. Oh, well. Yeah.
Whatever. You guys are not friends.
Hold on. Here we go. There we go. That's
whatever. I was drugged. Somebody drugged me. Somebody put something in my All-American Sundae. So, knock it off. I'm going to take your camera and put it down in the waiting room or whatever that's called.
We might have to do a challenge for that image. Yes. Mike would be game for it.
You're about to go into the waiting room or whatever that is.
I'm talking with the Magic for Less Travel board. I'm going to see if they'd be willing to sponsor some kind of challenge that also involves.
This picture's not right. I was so tired.
Live show, I'm going to be reaching out to the board.
I was trying to make fun of Ricky for all her senior pictures she does when I did that for the record.
He took an even better one.
There's no board.
Yeah, there's no board. That's great.
The breaking news.
No board. It's just there. Okay, so let's get back on track here. George, we've been doing this for it's 7 hours now. George okay. wants to remind everybody, he just made his donation, but he says, remember that your employee might match your donation. So check with that.
Point.
His does that's for true. Give Kids the World, so his donation is going twice as far, so that's good.
Awesome.
All right, so let's get back to, let's see here. We're talking about.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Everybody's singing the praises of Uber. That's good. They're liking it. So
good.
Jennifer says she only uses minivans, though, when she's solo with her son. That makes sense. Just kind of what Pam
sense.
Was saying.
Yes.
Yep, and Ricky, you were saying that. Let's see here. I'm trying to get to the next question. A lot of conversations going on.
Well, you know.
Mark says, Mark, in response to the question about the classic ships versus the larger ships, he says, he hasn't been on the smaller ships yet, but it's hard to beat Satellite Falls on the Dream and Fantasy.
Yeah, we hear you. It is. That's a legit point.
That's true.
It's pretty sweet.
I am going to miss that.
I know.
So, but I'm also going to miss the size of the rainforest room. So mm-hmm. that part makes me sad as well.
You
so.
Will be. You
yeah,
will be
and
fine.
The location of the because on the classic ships, it's actually indoor. You don't have a beautiful view of the sea. And
I
stuff
know
like that, so.
That's kind of a bummer. I know that they just redid a little bit of it, but not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't redo that view. So,
okay, Kendra's got a question. Kendra Hill in the chat. My husband and I are headed down the end of September to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. Congratulations. I know my husband really loves me because he is giving up a Husker home game ticket to make this trip. Let me just tell you, if you don't know about Nebraska, I think they've sold out for like the last 30 years, every single game. It's crazy. It's if you're in Nebraska, you're a Husker. Let's see here. But I also had a... I have a picture right over there that used to hang in my classroom of us ripping the goalpost down the time we beat Nebraska at Mizzou on September. When was it? It's September. I even have the date memorized. Well, I guess I don't. It was 2003, though, because I was down there. I thought for sure we were tearing the place up because we beat Nebraska finally. But anyway, she says, where's the best place we could go to catch the game on TV? We're staying at Coronado. Would Rick's Sports Bar be a good choice? Any other ideas? Also, is this romantic? College football is always romantic in my book, boy. And I love it. I've told Pam many times on a college football Saturday, I tell her, if I wasn't married to you and if it was a person, I would marry college football.
Wow.
I love it.
Weird.
I love college football. I love college football. It's the best. It's the best. Like every week, your season's
on. I don't even know what to say about that.
I would marry college football. Anyway, so Rick's Sports Bar. I keep wanting to say lounge.
Your TV secrets
revealed. Yes, geez. The things you learn on the 12-hour live show.
I would marry college football. That's right. Anyway, so I would say Rick's Sports Bar is an awesome place to catch a game, especially since you're staying at Coronado. We saw people watching the World Cup game in shootouts. And I mean, you could cut the tension in that place with a knife. There were people there from, I think it was Colombia, and they lost in shootouts, I think, to England. And I felt so bad for the guy. Because he, when it came down to the last shot, he couldn't even watch. He had his back turned to the TV and just watched the crowd.
Man.
And they lost. And it was sad. So anyway, what do you think for watching the game? I think Rick's Sports Bar is a great place. Ricky, any other places?
I mean, of course, we've got ESPN, too. But I think Rick's Sports Bar is probably a really good option. And it won't be – it's a place that not a lot of people are going to think about because it's relatively new. And I don't think a lot of people think about, hey, let's go over to Coronado. So, yeah, I think that's a really good option, actually.
But you might want it to be, like, more rowdy. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. If you want it to be more rowdy, go to ESPN. So.
Yeah, that's true. If you want more of the atmosphere, ESPN. If you just want to see the game on a TV where you're not going to get bugged, probably Rick's. What do you think, Pam?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think any of the lounges typically available. Like, we've seen some games at Cruise Cup. We've seen some at, not at Cape May, at Martha's Vineyard there. In the beach club, it's their lounge area. We've seen them there as well. So they have TVs available too. But I think ESPN is typically where folks are going to head when they're looking to see a game. It just has that kind of atmosphere. People are all there for the same reason. So
that and the nachos. They're good. All right, Josh has a question about college football as well. See, everybody loves college football. Do y'all have any experience at Wide World of Sports? My family is going to the World Thanksgiving weekend. Oh, my gosh, that's the best weekend for college football. And I just saw that our LSU Tigers are playing that weekend. Go Tigers, G-E-A-U-X. And what are the crowds like that weekend? So Thanksgiving, is it insane? I've never been there. It's my birthday weekend. I should go.
It's busy. It's one of those busy times, but you know what? I feel like it's one of those times where the crowd sort of died down fairly quickly too. And so, you know, look, you go when you can go, let's just say it. I tell people all the time, don't let the busyness, keep you from going. If that's the time that's most convenient for you to go, because I always feel like crowds at a 10 versus crowds at a 7.
Who cares?
That's basically it. I mean, I know it makes it a little insane at different times, but there's also typically longer park hours. You utilize FastPass to your advantage. If you get there early, it still works for you. I think that, you know, that. But crowds do tend to die down fairly quickly.
Absolutely. All right, so we got that up there. And we have another question, which I was just trying to find.
I just want to throw this out there real quick.
We're close.
Guys, we are so close to hitting that goal. We're at $12,069. So, come on, guys. We got just a little bit of time left to go. Let's do this.
Actually, more like 15. Sorry. But
yeah, it's like 18. Right. We're good. We're going to get there. I have faith in the BR Guest Podcast listeners because we have less than 500, and that'll push us up to $15,000 with the match.
Yes.
So if you're going to donate, do it before 4:10 Eastern as you listen live. All right, next question is from Vicky Duran. Says, doing well, thinking about maybe next January, February, or March. No solid plans. Also thinking about a first trip to Disneyland, trying to decide which. I think she's just having a conversation with somebody in the chat.
But we have advice in this space, Vicky.
So go ahead. And then Jeanette's answering travel agent questions in the chat, too, giving great advice, but she almost tripped me there, too.
I know. So January and February and March can be good times to visit. The weather can be great or it can be snowy. No, not snowy, but we'll say sleety maybe every now and then. It can be chilly in January. But, you know, there's some good times. The only thing is as you get into March, then you'll start hitting some spring breaks. But even that is not as bad as like a major holiday during that. So. You should be fine there.
All right. So, and again, call in. We'll take your call, 407-413-9395. Phone lines are wide open right now. If you have a question, 407-413-9395, and hear yourself this Wednesday on the podcast. Kelly's got a question. When do you think the info regarding the 50th anniversary will be released, such as the time frame of the celebration and special events?
Later than you want.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's... That's 2021, so maybe late 19, early 20? It's probably not even then, right?
Yeah, I would say maybe middle of 20.
2020, yeah, when packages are released.
Yeah.
I don't even know that we'll have it before packages are released, though, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
But do you think this is going to be one of those things that for the solid year of 2021, it's going to be a huge draw for people to get back there?
Yes.
I think it will be for some, but you have to realize that Disney actually has an overreaching theme every year. Mm-hmm. They do. So there will be a celebration, you know, that year that has to deal with the anniversary, but they do have an overall reaching theme each year. So, or something that they're celebrating or pushing or promoting or whatnot. So, you know, it'll be a celebration, I'm sure.
But I mean, like, as a Disney fan, I want to be there that year for sure. But I mean, then again, I go every year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, it's not every year. So I mean, you know,
it's a strange. Yeah.
I think that Star Wars is actually going to be more of the draw than the 50th. I really do.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, in one large group, some maybe.
That's what I mean, yeah, for that year.
I don't know.
All right, we have a caller on the line. Who's joining us?
Hi, this is Megan from Virginia.
Hey, Megan from Virginia.
Hi, Megan.
Happy Saturday.
Hi. I was a guest on, I was a trip report guest a while back about the group of 13 that went to Disney World. Mike, you helped us with our trip.
Yes, you stayed at All-Star Music.
Yes. And my question is, can I make a correction to my trip report?
No, we do not want to fix our we don't say we make mistakes on this show. No, no. go ahead.
In the episode, you asked me at the end of our trip report what was like a magical moment, the takeaway from the trip. And I said that we didn't have one in particular. And when my entire family listened to the podcast report, they all laughed at me because one minor detail, my husband and I renewed our wedding vows for our 10th anniversary.
See, that's totally something I would have done. I'd have said, no, there were really no highlights. No.
Yeah, whatever. It was okay. It was
just a minor detail, one small thing we did.
Fine. Well,
we knew our wedding now, so I thought, here's my chance to fix that.
So if Megan gets to go back and correct some of the stuff that she's done, right? Mikey and I have a list.
Oh, we have a list.
Like on episodes 200 and some up until last week, there were definitely spots that I sounded like an idiot. So I'm going to have to correct some
pretty
of that.
Pretty sure that some of it happened today
it's
as well.
It's so, dangerous
it's happening now.
Yes, exactly.
No, that's so funny, Megan. It sounds exactly like something that everyone does. You know, you just get so, there's so many magical moments that even a vow renewal doesn't seem that magical.
Right? When my husband heard it, he was like, hold up, what's that?
So, right. Was it magical for you? Yeah.
I'm so sad. No, so just tell us about it, though. What's that? Where'd you do this, and what was it like?
Well, we ended up doing it in the Animal Kingdom, because I think I told you, I think even in our trip planning, he suggested, you know, at the castle, like most people would want to do. But I said, our Magic Kingdom day, we don't have time.
Nice.
No time for the castle. And so we ended up doing it at the Animal Kingdom, which is actually, that's our kids' favorite park. I was there the year that park opened, Animal Kingdom, and it was the 20th anniversary of Animal Kingdom. Anyway, it just seemed appropriate. And so my sister found us a good spot, actually off to the side of the exit for It's Tough to Be a Bug. There was like a little alcove area, and my mom officiated, and our sons were his groomsmen, and my sisters were my bridesmaids, and so we did a little ceremony there, and it went really well. It really was magical, even though I forgot to say it.
Is this like an official thing, or is this like a gorilla you snuck in and did this and got out real quick thing?
No, we definitely just did it on our own.
I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we didn't ask Disney. A few people walked by and they like hesitated to walk across, like, oh no, are we interrupting something? We were like, no, go ahead, we're fine, go about your business.
Love it.
That's 10 times cooler doing it that way.
Right?
Yeah, we didn't. And we thought, you know, ask permission is, and we did not ask permission, so it would be easier to ask forgiveness if we got in trouble for it. So.
Yeah, that's what my favorite boss in teaching, she always said, ask for forgiveness, don't ask for permission. Because I told her, I was like, I moved into my new classroom, and I said, I've always wanted my classroom to be NASA blue, like the NASA logo blue. She's like, I'm like, can I paint it that color? She's like, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying, ask for forgiveness. Don't ask for permission. Dude, that room is blue 3 hours later.
I'm not going to tell you can't.
That's exactly it. And then I got in trouble, and then I had to paint it back white. But it wasn't her decision.
Oh, I guess they would have.
Yeah, they did. They finally got me. But, yeah, no, that sounds very, very cool. I love that trip report because it was about your family all coming together and having a great time. And I loved hearing about that. That's why I love the Monday shows, though, honestly, because – you know, I don't get to go down as often as I'd like. I just came back from 2 weeks and it still wasn't enough. And hearing about everybody else's trips, that fires me up. So you guys, that trip report was a lot of fun for me. But I'm glad you fixed this, though, because I could totally I could totally see everybody listening like, nothing really special happened. What? My wife had smoked
I know. When the episode came out, everybody was like, where can we listen to it? I gave everybody the link. They all listened. And afterwards, they were like,
got to be careful.
One small detail.
Yeah, it's on the record now. Yeah, very good. Well, thank you so much for calling in today. We appreciate it and hope things are going well out in Virginia.
Oh, no problem.
All right, talk to you later. Thanks for calling in.
All
All righty. Bye.
So just to update, we're about $150 away from matching that. So if, you know, folks still have donations that they're considering, now would be a good time.
We have exactly 10 minutes.
It is 4 o'clock. So just so you know, it is time for another call.
We got 10 more minutes.
Well, no, I was going to say it's time for another call. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Oh, wait, time for another guest, Mike.
Okay, hang on. I'm hitting my thing here. Oh, yeah, Jim Hill.
Yes.
All right, so let's wrap up this the Wednesday show. So let's do that and remind you that our Wednesday show is always brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. Ricky, what are we reading about this Wednesday on Theme Park News Disney Edition? Come up with something quick.
We're reading about the fact the Candlelight Processional packages are on sale.
Yes.
I don't know, that was last week's news, but you know, I haven't written the news for this week, so.
Well, I mean, it's Christmas. It's July, so it's time to think about Christmas.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So think about Christmas.
Ta-da. All right. Check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Even days to go, WDW. And follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike. And drop by Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We'll be back again on Friday with another show that we're recording during the 12-hour live show. We know today was a little bit different, but hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back to the normal stuff next week, but we're having a good time this week and hope you're loving it. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Until we talk to you again, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
Hey, everybody. Hope that you enjoyed today's listener question show. And I just wanted to remind you real quick before we get out of here on a Wednesday, if you would still like to donate to the Give Kids the World Fund that we had going on Saturday, it is still open. So if you missed the show this past weekend and you feel moved to help out the great folks at Give Kids the World, just drop by BeOurGuestPodcast.com. There's a link right there in the upper right-hand corner. All the donations are very secure. We use First Giving. We've used that for the last 9 years. The money goes directly to Give Kids the World. So one more time, if you want to donate to our 12-hour live show campaign, just drop by BeOurGuestPodcast.com today.